It's a real joy to be sharing God's Word with you this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 in verse 18 is where we're going to start. We are dedicating ourselves to hearing God's voice and understanding how what we experience in life, how do we understand how God wants to speak to us through that? And so it always starts with the Word of God, and that's why we're going to start in the Scripture. I do hope, as a side note, first of all, just so thankful for all of you who serve on the Jeff Davis Corridor and part of our ministry to our community. So thank you for what you do. Laura Burke, you want to stand real quick, Laura? Just so she's the head of CRC and what we do in Jeff Davis Corridor. Feel free to see her afterwards. We'd love for some of you to get involved. Also, as we're learning to hear the voice of God, as you're part of Cornerstone, you've been hearing the voice of Espanol, of more Spanish, as we're just really excited about as a church family, we're coming together and even languages are coming together. And so I just pray every time you hear something in Spanish in our service, it's a reminder of the greater work that God's doing that you and I get to be a part of. So, que Dios los bendiga. See? Yes, this morning. And just so thankful for each one of you. So today we're going to be in Acts chapter 20. And we're going to look at the life of the Apostle Paul at a moment in his life when he heard the voice of God tell him to go back to a painful part of his past. That's what we're going to do today. And we're going to focus on this Acts chapter 20, starting right around verse 18, because if you and I really want to hear the voice of God, then we've got to recognize that this is part of hearing from him. Because Jesus and what he did on the cross and the resurrection that you and I sang about is for the most painful parts of our life. And we don't have to be pessimistic or downtrodden about that, but we can, in a spirit of faith, hope, and love, understand that the victory of Jesus means there is never a pain in our life that is ever wasted. And in fact, if we want to move forward in the greatest callings and purposes that God has for us, that includes God calling us back to some places that have been hard in our life. Because that God is not going to let any place defeat us. You and I live in a culture where we tend to want to either run away from our problems or run over our problems, right? Our pain, those places of the past. I just want to run away from the past or I want to run over it. And Jesus, help me do either one. But the beauty of what we're going to see in the life of the Apostle Paul is how in God's beautiful work, he doesn't cause us to run away or run over it, but to walk with Jesus through it. And what is revolutionary to this world, that actually it's in the place where we have experienced our greatest pain, God wants to show his greatest glory and bring us, get this, bring us the greatest joy. That seems almost impossible in this world, and in this it's impossible in this world's thinking, but I'm telling you, we sang of a God who's resurrection. And we want to understand that today. And so we're in Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 18. The Apostle Paul is about to tell a group of people from Ephesians, he said, I'm not going to see you again, because God is telling me to go back to a place that I'm not sure how it's going to work out. I know it's going to be hard, but I know God wants me to do this. And as we read this together, I'm praying that we will understand how to hear God's voice for each of our lives. So this is the Word of God. I'm going to ask you in honor of it just to stand this morning, if you would, in honor of reading God's Word. And let's let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to us as the Apostle Paul shares his understanding of God's asking me to go to a hard place. verse 18, Acts 20. And when they came to Paul, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks of," and this is what we saw in our water baptisms, "repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me, speaks to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." Like, this is not going to be easy. "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." This is what Paul tells somebody. He's like, "I know I've got to go someplace that's hard." And in a moment, I'm going to give you some of the backstory of why this was going back to a painful place for Paul. But in this, he says, "I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but I know God's asking me to go there. I know he's asking me to go there." Now, as you're still standing, and I know you're standing, hang in there. I stand a lot longer than you do on Sunday morning, okay? Most of the people around us, when they love us and they hear that we have to do something painful, they say, "Don't go do that." And we're going to see, just real quick, look at Acts chapter 21 at verse 4. Paul is moving closer to Jerusalem, and there are a group of people he meets. Acts 21, verse 4, listen to what the friends tell Paul. "And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they," his friends, "were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem." Why? The Spirit of God was telling them, this is going to be hard on Paul. And his friends were going, "Oh, so don't go." Right? Because that's what, when in family, when someone has to do something hard, "Oh, don't do that. That's going to be hard." That's because we think loving them is keeping them from a hard moment. Notice in verse 13, verse 11, Paul travels a little further, closer. He's getting closer to going to a place that's going to be hard. And a prophet named Agabus comes to him, and verse 11 says to Paul, he takes Paul's belt and binds his own feet and hands, so he's like a captive with it, and says to Paul and everybody there, "The man who owns this belt will be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles." In other words, he's going to be bound and captive. "When we all heard this, we and the people there urged Paul, 'Don't go to Jerusalem.' Then Paul answered, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, 'Let the will of the Lord be done.'" So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that your holy word, your holy scripture, now as the Holy Spirit works through it, is going to speak to each of our hearts the way that we should live the life and listen to your voice. And we just ask for your grace and your love and your comfort to be on every heart that hears this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to read one more scripture to you. It's in Philippians chapter 3. You don't necessarily have to turn there. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 8. And I want you for a moment to hear how Paul thinks about going through hard things in life, going through some things that are even having to deal with the past, pain in the past. Chapter 3, verse 8. "Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but of it on faith, that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Notice verse 10. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by all means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Sometimes we're in the middle of this world and we start treating our Christianity like all the other positive self-help, Dr. Phil, Oprah, Hallmark movie, Disney Channel kind of concepts of this is the good things of life and Jesus will help me. And it's like we need to remember that our faith is about resurrection. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. You will go through things that cause pain. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And I am offering that to you. We're here at a section of Scripture where the Apostle Paul says, I think God's asking me to go back and deal with something, face a pain in the past that it's going to be hard. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but I'm pretty sure God's saying that to me in life. Now, what we need to understand about the story of the Apostle Paul is according to Acts 22, and we've been reading this in our Bible reading, Paul grew up in Jerusalem. This is the place he grew up. He wasn't born there, but it's where he grew up. He was trained under Gamaliel, which is the Pharisee of Pharisees there, and he was religious and passionate. We'll learn a little in Acts chapter 23 that part of his family lived in Jerusalem. And Paul is this person whose whole life was built around this group of people that one day rejects him and wants to kill him because he grows up following all this family and these friends and the belief of the Pharisees. And then Jesus shows up and says, I'm glad you're religious, but you've got to let me be God in your life and you can't control it. You've got to let me follow. And the Pharisees say, no, we like it when we control life. And according to the Scripture and what Paul says about himself, about being faultless in his religion and his life as a Pharisee, he's there when Jesus is crucified. Because he's a Jew and he's there at Passover. And he's zealous for what the Sanhedrin believes. And so it's almost positive that he's one of the people in the crowd saying, crucify him. Almost definite. We learn later on that he's there for Stephen, consenting to his death. And he's tight with the people, his identity, his values, everything's about this is the way I grew up, this is what I believe. Anybody opposes that, I'm going to attack. Well, he leaves and he meets Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ kicks him off his high horse, humbles him. And Paul comes back in Acts chapter 9, comes back to Jerusalem, and wants to tell everybody, hey, everything we're zealous for, it's in Jesus, but what happens? It says in Acts chapter 9 in the 20s that everybody he grew up with wants to kill him. And so he has to flee from Jerusalem. Now, I want you to think about this. We read that in a second, it's like, oh, that's too bad. No, that was his entire life. That was everybody he knew, everybody he respected, the way he thought about his value, his identity, the meaning of his life. And they all said, not only do we reject you, we want to kill you. And so Paul faces threats of violence. He faces rejection and hatred, and he has to flee. There's a trauma in Paul's past that is so great that if you think about the story of Paul in the book of Acts, we don't even hear from him for a while because he's probably recovering from such a traumatic event in his life. Now, what we're going to find out is as Paul continues to serve God, he ends up serving in Antioch, and the Lord does great things. So he in some ways, he moves on from that experience, and he goes, and he starts to serve in Antioch, and then God, filling him with the Spirit, and God doing great things, calls him to go and begin to go down to Crete and around Asia Minor, and he's doing all these amazing things. He has all these new friends in his life, and all these parts, and at some point in chapter 15 in the book of Acts, he has to go back to Jerusalem. But when he goes back, it's very much just about his new relationships and the believers. And if you notice, it's a very narrow experience going back to Jerusalem. So it's kind of like God lets him go back a little bit and face some of the past pain, but it's not time for it all to get worked out in his life. Paul leaves. Well, when we come to this passage, God's saying, Paul, it's time to go back. It's time to go back and face some things that have been painful in your life. But I want you to do it because I want to lead you to glorify me, and I want your life to live out all the good plans I have for it. Good plans? To go there? Yeah, to go there. I want you to read, and I'll just read it for you. In Acts chapter 9, when Paul is converted, God speaks three things to Paul about what the purpose of his life is going to be. It's in Acts 9:15, and it says this, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for Paul is a chosen instrument of mine,'" and listen to this, "'to carry my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.'" God says, "Paul, I've got some plans for your life. I'm gonna have you talk to these three people." By the time Paul is about to go back to Jerusalem, he has been a witness to his people. He has been a witness to the Gentiles. But who has he not been a witness to? Kings. Kings. And Paul, God sends Paul back to a painful place in his past. And when he goes, as we've been reading, it's not all, there's no Hallmark ending here. It's actually really rough. And as he faces his past, he literally gets arrested by the Romans because they think he's causing a riot because the Jews want to kill him again. And it's actually through become a prisoner of Rome that he does what? What does he end up doing? He ends up testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ to who? Kings. Because he has to give defense of his life in Roman court and trial. And in those days, you went before kings and governors. And as the scripture shows us, there's almost certainly he went before Caesar himself, the ruler of the whole world, and said, "This is who Jesus is." And it would have never happened unless Paul was willing to follow the voice of God to a past place of pain and say, "Jesus, what do you want to do there?" Now, that's not what we tend to want to hear, right? I mean, we live in this world that says, "Let me run away from it, let me run over it." And God says, "No, my victory, my love, my power in your life is so greater than this world that would you let me walk there with you?" Now, I wasn't originally scheduled to even preach this morning, but as we've been going through this series and we've been going through the book of Acts, I just felt like, man, this is a word I've got to share. So actually last night around 7 o'clock, I drove from Pennsylvania, where I was with my wife's family for a reunion that wrapped up that day. I actually drove back last night, and it's a little near kind of York and Baltimore area. So last night, in order to come here and be where I wanted to be, I had to go through a place I really didn't want to go through in life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, for me to drive to Chester, Virginia, from where I was, I had to drive through Washington, D.C. And believe you me, I did not want to go through there to get to where I wanted. But if I wanted to get to this place that I loved, if I wanted to get to this place filled with joy and family and meaning and purpose in my life, I had to go through a place where I may have lost my salvation 3 or 4 times during the traffic. I mean, just, you know, we worked it out by the end, all right? But there are times in our life, I want you to hear this, there are times in our life where we've got to go through where we don't want to go to get to where we desperately want to be. Does that make sense? So important. And I try to say often, look, the point of this Sunday morning is not to have a great service. The point of this Sunday morning is for you to have a great life. And so what we're going to do in this service is not just try to have a great service. Today, we're not going to tie in a little bow what we're talking about. There's going to be something where we're really just opening up the door and say, "Lord, would you begin? All right, I'm willing for you to talk about anything you want to talk about in my life." And I want you to hear this morning that as your pastor and as your friend, I see so many that as they walk through life, they love Jesus kind of helping them kind of like, "Oh, you know, I went through that and now I'm over here and I just want to focus over here." And God's saying, "No, it's at some point, it's time to go back. Let me talk to you about this." Because believe it or not, to move forward in the purposes I have for you, you've got to let me take you back to a place of past pain. Because I'm not just going to get you through it, I'm going to use it for you to be more victorious than you have ever been. So that's easy for me to say based on my story. There's nobody who doesn't have the story of having to go someplace and say, we've all got a Jerusalem to go back to. That's going to be hard. You know what? But the Holy Spirit that lets us know that we should go is the same Holy Spirit that says, I'm with you. I want to show you a life that's more than you can ask or even imagine. And I don't want any past pain to ever have to be the final word over your life. So, as you notice in this series, instead of the main preacher just sharing the text, we've always invited someone from our church family who has experienced the voice of God in this area of life to come. And you, if you've also noticed, we also invite someone who can't say it's all neat and clean done. We say, hey, I've heard God's voice and I'm learning to understand how to follow God in this area of life. And to live in faith with Jesus, you got to live in courage. And there's probably no more courageous person in our church who I admire and respect her faith than Miss Dawn King. And I've asked Dawn to come, and she's going to share some of her story today about what it is to hear God's voice. So would you welcome Dawn as she comes and shares with us? Dawn, thanks for coming. Dawn's a wonderful school teacher in our area. She's worked a lot with the Jeff Davis Corridor. And Dawn, we've known each other for a long time. And my wife, Sarah and I, my wife, I mean, we just love Dawn and her family. And Dawn's been one of those people that at some point God spoke to you about, hey, you're this fantastic mom, you're this amazing teacher, you've taken the hard things of life and you've still come, you've made all this great life, but I want to take you back to a place that's been painful, and I want to speak to you there and do greater things in your life. So I was hoping you could share some of that with us this morning.
Sure. Thanks for letting me be here. I guess my story that God brought me back to started when I was 18, and I went away to college. And when I went away, I had all these dreams of what college was going to be like. And those things didn't happen when I first went away. And as I was acclimating myself to the area and to the community, I also noticed that there was someone watching me. And so in an attempt to kind of stay away from that person, I think there was definitely some anger in him. And he followed me into the dorm one Friday evening after I had been there a very short time. He attacked me. There was sexual assault, and he took me. He captured me and took me away from campus for about 48 hours, and it was a large time of trauma, and I'm not really sure in a lot of ways, except by God, that I survived that time. So reasons I do not know, he then took me back to the dorm, let me off, pushed me out of the car, and that's when I began to stuff everything that had happened inside of me, wash it away, push it down deep, not let it out ever to see light again. I also decided to come home and then began and became an expert. Pastor Sean can tell you how much of an expert I was at controlling every aspect of my life in order to keep myself safe, to keep my family safe, and not let anything happen to me again. I went to school here. I became a teacher. I got married. I had two kids. I thought life was great. It looked great on the outside. And wearing a mask, though, during that time, at church, at work, at home, is exhausting. And so it was something that I couldn't sustain. There were lots of surface problems that seemed to start to show up in our life, some marriage issues, just issues with family that I couldn't understand why God wasn't fixing or helping to fix. And then it was as if I didn't even recognize that that deepest wound, that deepest pain in my life was the root of all of those other pain.
So important.
So I remember that I was here on a Wednesday night, and we used to have Wednesday night services, and I heard a message about letting God heal every part of your life. And I said, not every part. That's what I always had said. And I knew that that place was there, but I didn't even know that it was affecting the rest of my life. And I didn't understand at that time that my relationship with God was even one of those surface things. I was just going through the motions. I came to church every week. That was not that relationship that God desired from me. So that Wednesday night, I did not leave the sanctuary. It was a pretty audible word, and I'm pull out one of my journals here. I brought a whole stack of them since we are doing our summer prayer journal. But God told me very clearly, I cannot give you more of me until you give me all of you. Whatever it is, I am big enough, strong enough, and the one who needs to carry this, not you. Dwell on my word.
Amen.
And so that, I did not leave the room that night until I spoke with Pastor Sean. And even when I talked to him, all I could say was, there is a story to tell. I couldn't even tell him what that story was. I met with Sean and Sarah weekly for a little while, and maybe even more than that. And there were probably two or three times before I could even share what had happened with them. And I was convicted and all of that. I felt like I was wasting people's time. But little by little, those layers were beginning to peel away. And that was, it was probably to save me that we just didn't peel it all away at one time. It was a saving grace for me that little by little, we began to peel it away.
Yeah, here we are, and we're singing, Lord, you're powerful, and you heal, and you love, and God, have my life, and Lord, I believe you, all the things we sang this morning, and yet all of us have these areas where, like, God, I believe it, and I believe it while I leave this to the side. And we don't understand how much that past pain affects our life and dominates. And I remember when Dawn was beginning to share with me, and it was the beginning, it was like, I've got something to tell you at some point. You know, it was just the way it was. And you know, I remember when she finally shared, she said, Sean, I've been all these years, and she loved Jesus. I mean, there's no question. I mean, but it was like, I thought the way I loved Jesus was maybe, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it was like, he was ashamed of this too, and so we just put this to the side. We don't talk about that. And I remember you telling me, I've been in church all these times, and I'd hear God speak all these words, and I never once thought that I should apply it to the most painful place in my life. I never once thought. I was like, oh, mom, marriage, work. And I remember thinking, wow, how often do all of us do that? You see, you know, I'm not a licensed counselor or anything, just pastorally, but what I've seen in my life, in ours, is we all have some sort of place of just pain in our life, right? And we usually learn to handle it the word is, I'm going to get myself together, and I'm going to just get through this. And Jesus helped me get through it. But really what we're saying is, I'm going to get through it. And so we develop this mindset of, I'm going to take control. I'm going to make this work, right? And thank you, Jesus, for helping me do it. But it's really me. And then we develop this life of control. And at some point, we layer it so much that when God's like, no, I want to heal that, we don't even hear him speak. We don't even hear him speak about it because we're like, no, I've got that. I'll take care of that. And so we were talking the other day, and it was like, we all like to Christianize our control, right? It's like, in the end, I'm the one in control, but Jesus, be the center of my control. You know, it's like, I'm still the center. And it's like, no, you can't be in control and let God be in control at the same time. That you can't do one. You got to choose who's in control. And the way that we give control to God is not by, it's actually very logical and it's very reasonable. The way we do it is we let someone from God's body, someone from God's family, into our story. So what we say here at Cornerstone is when you, the journey that God wants to take you on is you first got to know Jesus. And that's different from knowing church. Some of us in this room, we know church, we don't know Jesus. We've never really met him in our heart. We've got to start there. Then we want to find freedom, because it's very possible to know Jesus and not have any freedom in your life. Very possible. And then we want to discover our purpose, because God's not saving us and healing us just to be saved and healed. Like, there's a purpose for us, and we need to then, finally, go make a difference. Go find a place in Shady Hill or at school or at your workplace or your neighborhood or in your family. Go make a difference that you're supposed to make. And so the wonderful thing, and I saw, I mean, talk about faith, hope, and love. Talk about courage. Be strong and courageous. This was dawn during this time. The courage that says, the way I'm going to let you into this part and kind of give away some of my control is, hey, pastor, hey, pastor's wife. And then there was a Christian counselor, and then there were some Christian friends. Here's a part of my life that's really painful. That's how you stop being in control and start letting some, let God speak. We come to Christ for forgiveness. We come to for healing through the body of Christ. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. Serve one another. Bear with one another. That's how, and so a lot of people, they say, now that I know Jesus, Jesus and me heal this past. And God's saying, no, you got to let someone else in. Let someone else in, because it's actually the control that got you through your trauma is actually what's creating all your drama now in the rest of your life. Like, you've got to let that go. You got to let that go and let Jesus really lead. So I just said a bunch there, Dawn. I mean, we walked it. What was it like for you to walk those things?
Well, as soon as I began to tell that story, I wished I hadn't.
Yeah.
I began to pull away and pull it back and, nope, that's okay. I don't want to do this. And so that was one of the hardest places, is to continue to press forward. And there were those people who said, no, don't go back. Yeah. Don't look. You're past that. Keep going. But yeah. I'm so thankful for the people who didn't say that, who walked with me, who were beside me every step of the way.
Can I jump in right there? This is so important. We see it in Acts chapter 21. It says the Holy Spirit was telling them, don't go. If you read it, I think I'm accurate here. It wasn't that the Holy Spirit was saying, don't go to Jerusalem. It was the Holy Spirit was revealing to friends and family, it's going to be hard for Paul. And then what people did, taking the discernment of God, they turned it into their own natural loving, their own version of love. And so it's like, oh, the Spirit's telling me you shouldn't go there. It's like, no, the Spirit's not saying that. The Spirit's revealing that it's going to be hard. But you need to let Paul go. Let the will of the Lord be done. Family members, some of us as friends, when we hear someone going through a hard time and we know it's going to be a painful process to get the right healing, because there's no one who goes to get surgery who doesn't get worse before they get better, right? I mean, surgery makes you worse, not better at first. It's like sometimes we've got to be careful, because our counsel and advice, and we're hearing from God, we're right, it's going to be hard. But then we give a counsel like Paul got, and sometimes what Dawn got is like, you don't need to go back there. It's like, no. Be careful with that. Don't, the discernment of the Holy Spirit that's going to be difficult is not the Spirit saying, don't go there. Really important to hear. Everybody got that? Super important in the way we care for the people who are going through hard things in the in our lives around us.
And those of us going through those hard things can be exhausting to people who are supporting you. And so I know that those flashbacks and the anger that I had, yeah, and all of that was hard for people to hear. And so I'm, yeah, thankful for that support as we walk through that process. Eventually, it took a while, but eventually that idea of freedom was more of a reality to me than not than just the pain and the suffering. So that idea of freedom was gradual. It was slow.
Yeah.
And I'm still working through that at times. I catch myself thinking, okay, I'm in trying to control everything in my life. Just ask my family. And sometimes they need controlling, but no, that's okay. But that whole idea of it's a process that's ongoing, and I can still work through it. And the idea of forgiveness is probably the place where I got stuck the most. I used to think that forgiveness meant that what happened to me was lessened, that it excused it. And because the event no longer defines me, I can separate those two and know that continuously I am asked to forgive. And it is not just a one-time forgive and be done. It is sometimes daily that I go through that forgiveness process.
It's so, so important. The world gives us this version, even sometimes like pop Christianity, like just kind of like not well thought out Christianity, gives us this idea that, you know, I mean, what is every Christian conference about? I've sold this many books. This many people follow me. Like, it's like everybody shows us, like, we kind of think that greatness is building this outward life that everybody sees. But the Apostle Paul, I mean, we're talking about him this morning. That's how influential his life is. And his life only got that big by letting God go that deep into his personal life. And we tend to want to like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I just, the shame and the hardship of whatever that looked like for your life and my life, and I've got it too. It was like, let's just run away from that and let's justify that I'm not that by becoming popular or having fame or some sort of success. And it's like, no, real greatness is letting God go deep in here. And the deeper we go here, the more we happen to be a witness to the entire world. And so I love that. I mean, Dawn, from there, I mean, whether it's your work in human trafficking, whether it's just the way you've led our church in so many ways, whether it's the work you do at school. The other piece, so important, and I had a pastor, I was obviously hearing what other pastors taught about dealing with the pain in the past. And one pastor said, if you don't deal with the pain of your past, you're handing it off to your kids. And the irony is you're going to live your whole life controlling so they never experience it. But what you're going to do is create a vacuum. You're not going to let them go through anything hard. And you're not going to, and you're going to create a vacuum, and the enemy's just going to fill it a different way. And so one of the beauties, now Dawn's daughter, Emily, was the super cool teenager over here playing the guitar, leading us in worship this morning, right? This is me playing the guitar, by the way. That's all I got. That's her daughter, who's just a junior in high school, who's this amazing Christian leader already and is growing, and she's still a teenager and got her stuff and then cleaned her room. But besides that, she's amazing. And her son is a teacher now, an amazing guy. And it's like Dawn allowed Jesus to go to a place that was hard in the past so that it wouldn't get passed on to her kids. And I look at your family, and it's amazing what God does. I think in that, Dawn, what is that like, though? Because there's so many times, like, is this really worth it? This is just more painful. You know, it's like, now the Holy Spirit's working, but he's really walking you through something.
Yeah, it is painful, and it's not something that it's not something that we might go into willingly, but we know what God is calling us to. And I knew that night that I was not going to abandon that process. There were many, many, many days that I wanted to stop. And I think it's that ability to have those layers pulled away a little at a time instead of all at once.
Yeah.
And step by step, a little by little, knowing how to do that. And about 2 years into the process, this is one of the things that I journaled. And it was actually about just around the date, the same date that the event happened. 20 years later. I went to great depths for you. This is what Jesus said to me. I want to heal the deepest hurts in your heart, the place of your greatest brokenness. It is through your greatest hurts you will receive the greatest healing.
Yeah. Amen.
And I cannot imagine not going through this process. I don't know where our family would be. I don't know if we would still be married. I don't know how my kids would be. I cannot imagine life if God hadn't pushed and I said yes to his healing. I am able now to lead that life of freedom. I'm whole.
Yeah.
I'm living a transparent life, and I'm living a life in the light instead of the darkness.
Yeah. So good. So good. It's almost like Jesus would say in Luke 9:21, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and do what? Pick up his cross and follow me. And what does he say after that? He says, the person who feels like they're losing their life by following me, going to the hard place, they're going to discover they found it. They discover everything. One day they're going to be in front of kings. They're going to, the greatest possible purpose for your life, it's going to happen. But you've got to trust the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 is like, man, I've just learned that it's okay to follow Jesus where he suffered. Because when I realize that, when I let Jesus into my suffering, I realize he suffered there too. I remember what the cross is really about, that he chose to give his life, that there's not a pain that I'm experiencing that he hasn't experienced. And that cross was not the end. It was really just the beginning. It was new life. It was water baptism. The old's died. The new's come. Resurrection power. And that's what God offers you and I. That's what God offers you and I. And, you know, we can, this sermon today, we're not wrapping it up in a little bow and say, okay, you know, bippity-boppity-boo, done. You know, that is not what's going on today. We're a family today saying, hey, you know what? And for those of you who, you know, I'm your pastor, I mean, for the most part, I'm probably one of the top 3 to 5 people who pray for you in your life. Probably. If you're a visitor, you got to give me a little time to get to know you, okay? But, you know, in me praying for you, like, this service, whatever. What I really want you to do is I want you to have a blessed life. And I don't mean like the world's version of blessed life. I mean like the real thing. And I just, it's just, this has got to be talked about. This has got to be, we know. Now, some of us, we're walking in this. And praise the Lord for family who says, hey, you're welcome. You're welcome here. This is part of being a family. You're okay. It doesn't got to be neat and clean. I'm with you, right? Some of us, we've got a great testimony we need to share, and we need to use this moment to be thankful for us. All of us in this room, there's no way that you don't know someone. Whether it's Dawn's story of that sexual assault in the past and the recovery there, or just the traumas of life. I mean, we live in an addicted society that sells us bad things and then sells us something to recover from bad things, and we end up with no money and still not healed, you know. And that's just this world. So what's our vision statement in our church? You know, we're a diverse family who's making Jesus the center of everyday life and showing the love of Jesus in everyday ways by the Spirit that only Jesus gives. It's only by his Spirit. And so we want to take a moment. Some of us in this room, we're having troubles with marriage or relationship and stuff, and we can't figure out why God's not fixing it. And it's because we're not giving him the one thing that's really the root of all this other stuff. So today's an important day for you. Some of us, we need to come to Christ. I think you shared, Dawn, that, you know, one of the things you had to do forgiveness-wise, and it's not that God needed forgiving, but you had to walk through the process of like, God, I was so mad at you for letting this happen. I mean, how could you ever let this happen to me? And there was this forgiveness, mercy. I'm not going to say it well, but it was just like, okay, Lord. You know, and so some of us, and some of us, that's the reason we're not a Christian. I mean, we come to church every once in a while with parents or folks, but like, that's not us. Because if God was real, he would never let this happen in my life. And yet, the cross tells us God's so real that he experienced the depth of your pain with you on the cross because he knew that this world would bring brokenness. And he loves you more than anything else. So Dawn, we're going to pray here in a moment and just invite the Holy Spirit to start something. Let me say this, if we could show this slide. In two Sundays from now, next Sunday is going to be amazing as we talk about how to hear God's voice for somebody else, how to be an encouragement to them. But on Sunday, August 11th, we're going to have a Sunday called Freedom in Christ. And it's a place where actually one of the national speakers, how many people are right here, raise your hand, you've done or are in Freedom in Christ right now. Yeah, super powerful, because we can know Jesus and not have freedom. So I want everybody in this church, we want to take Freedom in Christ. And what we do in that moment is we help to understand what it is to let Jesus very gently by the Spirit go to those places that really need to be touched, that we really need to be free from. But on the 11th, in the morning, in our two services, and at night, we're going to have someone come in and speak about these things. So we just want you to know about now, two Sundays from now, real important to be here. You can watch online if you're going to be away. And you could also invite somebody. You invite somebody to come. Once we do this on that Sunday, we will start sharing with you small groups that you can be a part of. And so at some point, to give Jesus control, you got to give the body, the family of Jesus, a chance to get in with where you are. And so we're going to do that. So today, there's no bow at the end of this sermon. I'm not going to tie it up neat and clean for you. I'm just going to tell you, you are loved. And you are welcome. And you belong. And you're part of this family. And what families do when they work right is they walk with you in the places that are the hardest. So welcome to the family. Welcome to a place that says, let's do it together, because our Savior has done it for us and then given us the Spirit to do it for each other. So Dawn, anything you want to share as we wrap up?
I think it's just the idea of, if God's stirring something inside of you today, if this is something that you know God needs you to go back to Jerusalem, be sensitive to that. Maybe come up for prayer at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe find that small group of people that will walk with you as you begin to peel away layers of past hurts. And just know that while it is hard along the way, the victory on the other side is amazing and wonderful and better than the life that you're living behind that mask.
Yeah, that's so good. I do feel, as we're listening, I do feel something maybe say directly to men today. Obviously, we've got an image of manhood that talks about being tough, and there's this thing called the strong silent type, which is not true. When you're silent, it's because you can't handle what's going on. I want to give you an example from my own life, and this is silly, and I'm almost embarrassed to share it, but this past weekend, we're at this family reunion. One of my daughters, I snapped at her just a little bit, you know, at something. And for the next 48 hours, I was with her all the time, and I knew I needed to apologize. And it took me to, like, right before I left to do it. Because I just couldn't say it. I was like, why can I not just say, hey, I'm sorry? And then the other thing was with it, we started talking, and then we started sharing some things, and I was getting a little regret, like, I wish I'd done this, I wish I'd done that. And it got a little harder to talk. And I just, as we were talking here together, I was just thinking, if it's in the case of a story that has some of your background to it, sometimes as dads and as men in a family life, it's hard to say, would you tell me how you've been hurt? It's just hard to do that. And I mean, I couldn't even like just engage my daughter for some silly little thing that meant nothing. But I've just thought about the moments where family members and men say, hey, because what do I do? I mean, what does my wife sometimes say about me? Sean, don't fix it, just listen. Okay, I'm the only one. All right. It's like, right? And it's like, if you tell me your pain and I can't fix it, I don't want to hear it. And it's not that I don't love you, it's just I don't know what to do with it. And so sometimes, and maybe even for some of the women in our church who are trying to, like, why hasn't dad been there? I think it's because if we don't know how to fix it, we don't know what we're going to do when we really hear it. So it's not like we don't know what's going on, but we never talk about it because we just don't know what we're going to do. So I just want to say a word to the men today. The most courageous and the strongest you are ever going to be is when you say, hey, how's it hurt? And no, you can't fix it. But he can. Like he can. The power of the Holy Spirit can. So I hope that was okay to share. That was not on the script, but I just want to share that this morning. So we're going to ask in a moment just for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Pastor Brian, I asked you if you could play a specific song in the background. Amazing Grace. So I'm just going to ask right now. We're not going to tie this up. There's not a ton to say. Man, but just, if everybody just take a moment, look at me. Hey, you got people with you. And that's not because this person's great. That's because that's Jesus is with you and his body's supposed to be there. So let's be a family. Let's walk where we got to walk. Would you just take a moment now to bow your heads with me and let the Lord speak to your heart? Maybe for somebody else or maybe for yourself. Jesus, I thank you for healing that's beginning right now. Holy Spirit, come. Give us the strength to walk where we've got to walk. Heal marriages and families. Restore purpose. Oh, there's such a great future for each of your loved children. Thank you for beginning it today. And thank you for equipping families to be better today. Thank you, Lord, that maybe we could be a family for someone who's really broken and not by blood, but can be by heart. Thank you, Lord. And for all of us who our personalities just run over things, thanks for showing us that real strength is sometimes hurting with those who hurt. Not because we can fix it, but because you can. This is a good day. This is a good day. Thanks for letting us be what a church is supposed to be today. Thank you for healing. Would you just take a moment and just let God speak to your heart this morning?